Welcome to Family History Roots Podcast. This is episode one of a series on sources in family history. In this episode, I look at why recording sources is important and use examples from the GRO indexes and censuses for England and Wales. And then I look briefly at primary and secondary sources and consider the GRO indexes in their various forms. Here at Family History Roots, we go into the depths of family history, discussing and exploring methods for researching and looking at new records available to family historians. There are podcasts on getting started and in-depth looks at various online genealogy providers and how to get the best out of your time and efforts. Full details are found on my website, familyhistoryroots.uk. What is the most important thing about family history? Is it the family tree? Is it recording the information? What is it? And how will you know? For me, it's always the same. Whatever you do, whatever you're researching, make sure you record where you got the information from. Record your source. Know where you got it. Okay, so starting out, you are soon overwhelmed with the information coming at you. And naturally enough, you want to get to that family tree, see the family drawn out, and start to answer that family history question that's bugging you. Interviewing may be the easy part. You know who you spoke to and have your notes, don't you? When you get down to researching in the records, it's easy just to go with the flow and add people as they come along. You get on to one of the online genealogy companies, take out your subscription, and off you go. It's all very exciting, and so it should be. And what can you find out next? Let's get to the heart of the problem. You're looking at your family tree 5 years from now and want to look at what happened to Great Aunt Florence. You have some notes about her children and her parents. Perhaps that she married, aged 19, a chap who was a soldier, whose name is unknown. How much of this is correct? There is no note anywhere of how you got the information, nor of what you have checked so far. Now, if you had taken more notes, then you will be able to pick up where you left off last. But you are faced with searching your notes to find out how much you did. And where are those notes? Let's take another example. You have a family tree online, maybe on Ancestry.com, and you have a note there that Aunt Florence married James Carpenter, and she had children Sarah, Edith, and Maud. But how do you know this? And is it accurate, or is it a guess from a relative? And did they know the family? Did you find it on another online family tree, even? When you have so many examples as these, things get complicated. To speed up your research and improve your results, it's a good idea, and I would say a necessity, to record somewhere how and when you got that information, and whether you think it's accurate, or whether there is a doubt about whether you have a match to the family you're after. Now, an aside here, if you are thinking of publishing your research in book form, you will need to have references cited in the correct format and double-checked and permissions got where necessary. So it's vital that you consult and follow the standards that are set for genealogical source citations. And recording your sources in the software of your choice should be done correctly and should be done for every fact you have. I'm not going to talk about citations for publishing, as this can be covered in another talk. But I'm here sticking to the use of and recording of sources during your research. If you are able, when reviewing your research, to go straight to the source of that information, you'll be much more able to review successfully, especially as such reviews often occur as and when someone else or you find something about the family that might be them. But you need to check what you have so far. You are listening to Family History Roots podcast, where we explore resources and techniques that can assist you with your family history research here in the UK. I'm Mark Irving, Director of Professional Genealogists, Grange Genealogy, and I have been tracing and researching family members of many different families for reasons of inheritance over the last 4 decades, and researching my own family since the 1980s. Online family trees these days are a boon to us as we research, as we can put families together quickly and are able to add the source of the information quickly to that person or family. We know that Aunt Florence had 3 children because of a census record, names on an obituary, a letter from a cousin. And we know where and when and whom she married because we have it linked to a record that shows us the image of the marriage entry in the parish register. Typically, you will have your researches recorded in several places: an online family tree, notebook of interview notes, folder of draft working family trees, maybe a computer-based genealogy software program. Get into the habit early of recording with these the who, what, where, and how of the source. In other words, 1, what piece of information is it? Aunt Florence married James Carpenter. 2, where? Details of the information provided. Married in Fulham in 1904. 3, how do you know? The personal information from so-and-so, or a marriage certificate, which is here. Of these, the how is the key. If this is from a record somewhere, you need to record enough details of it so you can find and view that again. If it's a marriage certificate or index reference from a marriage index, you should be able to use this to view the original source. For example, if it's an index to the marriage, record the name of both bride and groom as recorded in the index. Record the registration district, the volume, and the page number, or other part of the reference, district number, entry number, etc., and the date of the entry. For a marriage or 1904, this will be the quarter, March, June, September, or December, and the year. For later references, this may be a month of registration and year. If the source is for a parish register entry, then take a copy of that entry. Easy to do if it's online, and save it on your computer in a folder set up to store these documents, and rename it according to the year, month, type, name of the record, and take a print of it and store it with your notes. Record where you got it, the record office and call number or online company, and from what database it was in. You will find this at the top of the initial search page you used or on the image page. For census records, a number of the online providers do not make it easy to see the original source information. The original source for the UK Census will be the National Archives reference to the record class and piece number, beginning with HO107 or RG plus further two digits for the census records, followed by the piece number, which is usually a four-digit number, and then a folio number and a page number. For census images on or before 1901, these last two will be given at the bottom or side of the image of the return, and the folio number will be stamped top of every second page. Page number, printed number at the top of every page. For images for 1911 and 1921, the references are slightly different, as these are household images rather than street records. If you have any questions or other opinions on what I have been discussing, you can let me know at podcasts@familyhistoryroots.uk, and what you have said or suggested may feature in a forthcoming episode. You can also subscribe to Family History Roots podcast from my website at familyhistoryroots.uk, and by subscribing you will let me know that you find my discussions valuable. Each source you find will have its own unique call number or archive reference, so get used to looking for and recording it. It will save you lots of time. You can also record the quality of the source. Archivists and historians will tell you about the reliability of a source, and you should know whether it's a primary or secondary source. A primary source is information taken from or given by the person noted in the source. A secondary source is information noted by someone who was not present, or who has written down, copied or translated from an original document, or who has been told by someone else who was there. Sometimes it's difficult to determine which it is practically, but you just need to remember that an index or transcription is a secondary source, and that a marriage entry in the register is a primary source, using the examples I have given. The more people involved in handling and reading a record before you see it, the more chances there are for mistakes. I have put links to the resources mentioned here on my website, familyhistoryroots.uk, where on the episode notes page you will find a listing for each episode. This one comes under Series 6, Episode 1. Let's take an example of this. The General Register Office indexes to births for England and Wales, begun in 1837 and still going now, can be viewed online in several places, but not now in the original bound books. Originally, these were handwritten by the clerks when indexing from their notes from the registers, given to them from the district registrars every quarter. Notes were then taken and compiled into a surname, forename, quarter and year index, given the district and page number. Then the index was then bound into surname, quarter, year index volumes and left for searching at the General Register Office at Somerset House in London. Then, at some stage in the 20th century, these volumes needed repairing. They were typed up and the new index rebound and left in the General Register Office for searching. Occasionally, mistakes and corrections were added by hand to these volumes at the foot of the index pages. Then, in the 1990s, these volumes were scanned and copied by the online genealogy companies and then each company created its own index to the printed index, involving OCR and human checking. Then some other groups made their own transcriptions of these indexes, usually adding cross-references or enabling free searching. These were done manually by humans. Also, we have a new index to the birth registers created by the General Register Office itself under contract with Siemens in the 1990s, which used contracted labour in India, amongst other places, to recreate the index from the register books themselves. So, where in all this is the primary source, the original record as recorded in the register book? Unfortunately, not written down by the parent, but recorded by the registrar, either in his office or by visiting the family. So even here we may have some errors, especially with unusual surnames, forenames, and where the registrar was not familiar with a local accent. Then we may have transcription errors from clerks misreading the entries, and later misreading the handwritten index pages. Then we have errors in machine reading and human corrections, often difficult where scans were faint or where type had faded. And each new index then had its own variations, inevitably. And these will usually be regarded as secondary sources. However, the new General Register Office indexes to births found on the gro.gov.uk website of all these should be considered the most accurate. But in practice, all should be compared and, if necessary, checked against the original register entry itself. One of the first set of census records to be indexed was the 1881 census for England and Wales, indexed by volunteers rather than contracted companies or machine reading, and released in 1999. For earlier census and later, up to the last release this year, that's 1921, all have now been indexed mostly by machine scanning and then checking and correcting. So the indexes themselves are a great help to pinpointing where a person or family was through the mid-Victorian era to the 1920s. The transcriptions of these records, that's the returns, are not as reliable as a guide as you would think. Names are misread and relationships are misinterpreted, particularly where multiple families are in the same building. So I would urge that the original record image be checked in all cases. The transcriptions can be used to make a short list of possibles if there are lots of matches to your search. As the last two census to be released here, the 1911 and the 1921 census, were filled in by the family in the household, rather than being reinterpreted by the census enumerator, that's the person who carried out the questioning and completed the final returns, and whose writing you can see on the images of the returns for 1901 and earlier, you would expect that information given will be more accurate. However, I have some doubts as to whether this is the case, and I suspect families for these censuses had more time to decide what to include and what to exclude. Primary source, as these are, therefore does not always mean more accurate. There will be times when, as a researcher, you may find that information conflicts, and it's then that you will have to make a judgment on which is more reliable, and it's then that you will need to go back and check your sources. Join me next time at familyhistoryroots.uk. Don't forget to subscribe if you have found this helpful. Family history is all about seeing life in the light of your ancestors. So may your discoveries and searches be fruitful. Until next time, good luck.
The discussions and techniques and resources mentioned in this podcast were broadcast for personal use only, and the resources and any associated tips and techniques for researching were correct as of October 2022 and in the UK, and express
my own opinion.
This podcast was brought to you by Mark Irving, Director of Grange Genealogy. My further podcasts can be found at familyhistoryroots.uk, and details of other services offered are at grangegenealogy.co.uk. The Ragtime theme was courtesy of purpleplanet.com, and to receive further information on upcoming podcasts and interviews, email me at podcasts@familyhistoryroots.uk.